Mr. Leffler speaking about the Peace River. At the time we was in Vancouver in 1925, talking about the country of the Peace River, and we were deciding to leave Vancouver in 1925, which was called the Peace River Block at that time. So then we decided not to go in 1925, that we would leave in 1926, which we figured would be better for us, as we were young at that time, and my dad was working in Vancouver. So, when 1926 come, finally we decided to depart from Vancouver for the Peace River country. That was in January the 4th of 1926. We left by train, CNR, departed from Vancouver around 5:30 in the evening, traveled all night and all day, and that night and part of the day to 4:20 to Grand Prairie, which was at that time at the end of the rail, or what you call the steel, at that time. The town was not very big at that time. However, we got a room at the hotel, what there was of it, for the night. And it was very, very cold, 45 below zero. We had a very good night's rest. So then we had breakfast in the morning, so thought, how would we get to the place they called Wembley from Grand Prairie? So we run across a person by the name of Archie Livingston, which he had a team of horses and sleighs, and there was lots of snow and very, very, very cold. That was going our way with sleighs and team of horses. So out we started with a lunch and lots of snow ahead of us and a very bad north wind blowing with it. We finally made it to Wembley. That was at night real late, and found a place to stay as there was no hotels at that time. So was a place called Johnson's Stopping Place, which was called a rooming house, where you would have your meals and a sleeping place for the night, and found a place also for the horses as well. So we got the team in the barn for the night. So the next thing was to have supper and a real good strong cup of coffee after our cold trip. So we sat and talked about the Peace River country to Mr. Johnson, and he said, you still have to go through Hythe yet, which is a long trip and very, very cold and lots of snow. Then from there to Goose Coop, which was a long day and part of the night before we reached Goose Coop. Goose Coop at that time was a very, very small village, very few houses, and it was hard to get a place to stay. However, being in luck, we found a place to stay and a place to put the horses up for the night. Had supper and sat and talked, and then went to bed and rose very early in the morning. We asked the fellow there how far Dawson Creek was from Poose, and he said only 7 miles to go, which I thought, my goodness, I hope that is the end. However, as we got towards Dawson Creek, we found that the day was getting warm. And as we arrived into Dawson Creek, we found that the barometer had gone up to 35 above, which was warm comparing to the time we had started out from Grand Prairie at 45 to 50 below zero. So we had breakfast that morning in Dawson Creek, as well as dinner, got our room at the Bill Risbach Hotel. We found Dawson Creek a very small place with only 6 houses and a butcher shop and the harness shop and the old co-op store. And of course, there was the Queen's Hotel, which was then not open, but was ready for to take possession or rent or to buy. So we stayed 2 days at Bill Risbach's place, that is at the hotel itself, and had a very nice time talking to the people there. Finally, my dad said, why not start into business? Well, I said, it's up to you, whatever you figure you should do. So we took the Queen Hotel over and started into business. The hotel wasn't very large, only 14 rooms in it, but a large dining room and a large kitchen. And we done a wonderful business, as there was people coming and going into the country and going out and coming in. And we stayed there for 2 years at this Queen's Hotel before we sold out. Then we went to the country west of Dawson Creek, which was called South Dawson, and rented a place there while we got our log cabin built on our own homestead at that time, which we had to go back to Poos to pick up the or to get the land, which cost us $10. We figured that was real good. But on coming back, we thought it over. My, what a lot of hard work this meant for us. But however, we start taking out logs for the log house and start building, which took time as we had to peel the logs for that house. Then we had to get the lumber to put the roof on and the flooring, as well as go ahead and put the partitions in, the windows and so on, and the door. Well, that time we couldn't get doors, so we had to make a homemade door, which was very, very heavy, and which was a good thing that we did make a heavy door, as the weather in winters was very, very cold in this part of the country at that time. It was nothing to see it get down to around 60 to 65 below zero weeks on end. However, through the winter time, we cleared land to get ready to break it in the spring. Broke up enough so that we could have enough feed to get a cow, which we bought from Progress by the name of the people that we had bought the cow from, Mr. Smith. Taking the cow home, we had a small barn. Then put the cow there, which was very nice and warm at that time. But we had a very, very bitter cold winter at that time of year. And it was a very late spring, which we got rain and snow, and more snow and rain. I thought, my goodness, when is ever summer going to come? However, it finally come, and it got so hot that one hated to get out into the field to do any work, as it got up to 70 and 80 above, which was quite a change from our cold winters. However, we proceeded on with our work. In the meantime, I figured I should start on my own quarter of land. As time was running out fast, and I wanted to get it up before winter started in. So we out, and we got the logs out, got them all scored, and got two fellows, the Swedes, to go ahead and put the house up, which was a two-story house, 30 by 24, full cellar, full basement, with a furnace into it to burn wood and roots, which we had lots of wood at that time. We found out later as we roamed around through the land that we would never run out of wood for some time. So, during that winter, I had moved into my place from the old log house that my dad had built, which was a little bit better than the one we had first put up on my dad's place. Then we eventually finished off his house and moved back there. This sounds something like the Indians do during the summer from one place to the next. However, we finally got everything settled. Well, there was a very, very few people in the country at that time. Mr. Fred Chase was one of our close neighbors, Mr. Denton's, and Ray Newby was just about way over from us in the next valley, which he had taken up a homestead at that time and wasn't doing too good. Had a few acres broke up, but that is about all, in a small little shack about the size of a granary to live into. Well, he finally decided to get married, which they did, and they settled there on that place which Ray Newby had taken up. I think it was way back in 1929 at that time. Finally, he had left the place and moved into the old Dawson itself, as I guess he found it was too far to travel back and forth from the homestead into town. Then in 1930, things began to move. They got to looking the new town site over, which is now called the place of Dawson Creek. It was all bush at that time, no land much cleared. Only a few bare spots here and there. However, Mr. McQueen was the first man to move the co-op store, which was a very slow process in moving. So anyhow, we laid down our planks and raised the co-op store up, got the rollers under it, and then they had what they called the screw jack with a team of horses and a cable which moved it a few feet each time on planks. We had to run ahead with the planks so that the rollers would roll on the planks and keep it as level as possible, which was quite a job. This here in the process took us more than about a week to get the co-op moved. Finally, we got it into which we call the new town site of Dawson Creek, as it is called today. Then the next thing was to get it set down, which we did, then back to the old town and started in on Bill Risback's hotel. Well, Bill says, I don't know whether we can make any progress by moving this large building. However, we're going to try and do the best we can. So up onto the timbers, we got it lowered down onto what we called hardwood rollers in the planks and started off with it, a few feet at a time, till we got straightened out. Then we progressed across the old creek at that time where we had to make the crossing, which took almost a week to get that moved. In the meantime, we finally made it. And Bill Risback says, well, I guess we're in the new town site. And Mr. McQueen says, I think so. At least I hope so, at any rate. It was a lot of hard work. And his boys helped him as well as myself. And my youngest, or second brother to me, done quite a lot of work as well. Finally, we arrived in the new site and placed the hotel to where it is sitting almost today. Well, it sat there for some time. Then people started coming in, and a few houses were started, and buildings was moving in. Art Webb had set up a small store, and I forget the other gentleman that had the clothing store, which he had run a store at that time, has now passed away. That was Mr. Patterson. So you see, things have changed quite a bit in those years that have gone by. Paul Dulcy, we had to move his shop. That was called the harness shop and shoe shop at that time, which sat across from Art Webb's store. Then other buildings started coming in and gradually built up. Well, it began to look like a little town, but not a city, which at that time, approximately 300 to 400 people was there at that time, building, traveling back and forth, and a lot coming in and taking up land and building as well. The railroad at that time was not in Dawson Creek, only at Grand Prairie at that time, but they were proceeding on with the railroad as the years went by. By 1931, the steel had arrived in Dawson Creek then. Quite a few buildings had sprung up here and there and all over after the steel had come in to Dawson Creek. Well, in the meantime, we hauled wood from our own place to Dawson Creek, which was $2.50 a cord at that time, which wasn't a big wage or a big price for wood, but it kept the wolf away from the door, which we could afford to get the odd bag of flour and a pail of lard and a few things that we needed, essential things that we needed for ourselves. Then as time went on, things began to pick up a little, and we got work here and there, and eventually carried on the homestead, that is, at that time, in 1926. Now this town of Dawson Creek started to move in 1929 or 30, I believe. As time has went by so fast, one forgets the exact date, but I do know it was in the spring of the year when we started to move buildings. We had quite a session once the railroad had arrived in Dawson Creek, as Ma Murray and all the rest that was in Dawson Creek at that time put on quite a speech about the railroad coming in. Of course, I guess a lot of them knew Ma Murray, as she was the editor of the paper at that time. And of course, George Murray, being the MP for this part of the country at that time. Then they finally went to Fort St. John. Well, Fort St. John at that time was only just a drop in the bucket, the same as Old Dawson itself. Not much there, only a few houses and the co-op store. And the old Fort Hotel at that time, which was built out of logs. Then a few settlers started coming in and taking up homesteads here and there. Finally, we run into a fellow by the name of Art McKellar, which had come from Edmonton, walked all the way, him and his wife, and they were married in Edmonton. Apparently, he had been a great singer and had left that profession and preferred to take up a homestead here in the Peace River country. That was to the west and north of us, which meant that we had another neighbor at that time. Well, very, very, very few neighbors was far in between, but there was lots of game. That was one thing. We was never without meat. We had lots of meat, deer, moose, as well as rabbits. Rabbits was sick that year, real bad. We had to almost build a fence where the rabbits couldn't get in. And then they would dig down into the ground and get under the fence and get in at your grains and stuff which you had stacked, hay as well. However, they destroyed quite a bit of our crop as well as others. Well, that next year, after we had settled, the people by the name of Dentons come in and settled to the south of us in the next valley, which they had taken up two quarters of land. Well, they were up in years, the old people themselves, but the boy was about my age at that time, which he thought the Peace River was very good looking, so they started in to take logs out and built their house. And we helped to finish that for them and got the old folks moved in there. Well, Jim, he figured that he would take out wood and keep things going, and keep the wolf from the door, which he did by hauling it into Dawson Creek at the same price as we got. But he had a harder time, as he didn't have a very good set of sleighs, only homemade ones. And horses wasn't too good. They were rather on the wild side, and he had quite a lot of trouble many's a time. Including ourselves, many's a day we made trips through snowbanks, dumped our wood over, and had to reload and start again, probably dump over two or three times before reaching the distance of Dawson Creek and unloading our wood and then taking off back for home that night with maybe a bag of flour or a pail of lard or sugar, whatever we needed. So one time, coming into town, we need the bag of flour, and I said to Ed Hober, I said, I'll come and pick the bag of flour up before I depart for home. It was getting rather late in the afternoon, around 5 at night, and there was quite a storm had got up, but however, that didn't stop me from taking off. Well, I got home. I thought I had the bag of flour. Instead of having a bag of flour, I had a bag of bran, which didn't go too good for making bread. So back I go the next day, and I said, we've made an awful mistake. Hober says we must have got things mixed up here somewhere, because the bag of flour is still sitting here in the store. So we had quite a laugh over that, and that was that. Well, now talk about hunting moose and bear, which was plentiful on our place as well as my own. We had a salt lick to the south of us, and the bear and the moose used to come in there. So one night during the fall of the year, I figured I would set a trap up to catch a bear. Well, I built the pen and everything, got everything all set, bait and everything. Figured, well, Mr. Bear, if you come along, it'll be too bad for you, as I figured he would walk in there. However, I put a noose up into a tree, and when anything touched that noose, it would take a halt and throw him up in the air and hang there. So up in the morning I went, and I figure I had Mr. Bear. Instead of that, it was a bear with a pair of horns on, and that was a moose. He got into the noose, round his neck, and there he was, stone dead. Which we had got our neighbor to go and cut the moose up and hang it up for a day to air before proceeding home with it, which was quite a ways to pack it through the deep snow. In those days, we didn't have no fridge or nothing to put the meat into. So we had a place in the side of the mountain with lots of ice into it and running water through. So we hung Mr. Moose up in there, which kept it quite cold, and it froze in there, which made a very good ice box, better than the ones I think that we had today, as it didn't take no electricity or nothing but to close the door and keep it cold and keep the flies out, which was a wonderful thing. And many of the people come and looked at that freezer that we had on my place and thought it was quite a thing. However, in closing, I would like to mention that the Quok store had kept doing business while we were moving the building for the whole week. Business never stopped, right clean to where we had set the store in the new town site itself. Is from 1926 of the Mighty Peace River Country. And as it goes like this, I know that you owe nothing much